let's give it up for the band this morning, killing as they always do. Great, great song. And that really captures some of what we're going to be talking about today, as does the video scene from Forrest Gump, which, by the way, great to have you here this morning. My name's Kurt, and I'm the lead pastor here at Cross Point. And if you're here for the first time this morning, awesome that you're here with us this morning. As Eric said, we're in week four of our preview mode, and we're excited about what's happening next week with our grand opening. But we've been taking these first 4 weeks in this space to kind of get acclimated to the space and also to just talk about what this team is about. Whether you've been here, you know, for years or you've walked in for the first time the last couple of weeks, we thought it'd be really important for everybody to understand, you know, what God has been doing in and through this tribe known as Cross Point. Now, there are a lot of great churches in our community doing a lot of great things. And one of the things we've been trying to discover is and talk about is what are the, you know, trying to hunker down and kind of center in on what are the things that God has been doing through this tribe and that God is continuing to ask us to do as we continue forward. And so week number one that we were in the building, we looked at how we run, hence the Forrest Gump clip. You know, we're a community that runs. And one of the reasons that we do that is because, you know, there's one instance where we see in the Bible that God runs after people. And God doesn't run after people to, you know, throw moral commands or to criticize or condemn, but it's actually a picture of God running after someone who's disconnected from the life-giving source of his family. And so because God runs, we say we want to be a tribe who runs and creates pathways for people to experience Jesus in new ways. Week number two, we looked at how we hydrate things. If you're running, you have to be hydrated, right? And so we got some of you wet that morning. You know, we talked about how, you know, there's things we die for around here, hills we die on, we call it, and some people call them values. We just feel like that's kind of a sissy word, so we call them hills that we take because we literally, you know, we'll lay our lives down to help, you know, people experience Christ in a new way. And so we looked at that. Last week, we looked at how, you know, we, contrary to the perfect, you know, talk that we've had, which was somewhat tongue-in-cheek this morning, because we never are perfect. And we believe this church should be a place where it's okay not to have it all together, a place where you can come and you don't have to put a facade on, you don't have to, you know, act a certain way on Sunday and a different way the rest of the week. But as you're going to discover, I'm first and foremost, I don't have it all together as the pastor here. I'm still in process. And God is still, you know, growing me and honing me. And we just want to create a community where we can authentically pursue God regardless of where we are in our spiritual journey. And today, I want to talk about how we finish. We finish what we start. Now, up here on the set this morning, we have some stones. And these stones were something that took place back when we did our first campaign here at Cross Point a number of years ago to raise capital to eventually fund this place. We actually didn't know it was going to be this place. We never really had this idea of having a permanent place that we owned. We always saw Cross Point more being in warehouse space and space that, you know, we would use for a while and then kind of move based on where we felt we were to be in the community. But some of those plans changed, as you'll hear about in a little bit. And during that season, we asked people to commit financially above and beyond what they were doing to support Cross Point, to invest in the life change that happens through this place. And as a result of that, you know, we said, you know, we want you to, as a sign of that, to sign these rocks, to kind of sign and say, hey, I'm in for making a bigger impact in our community. Now, we always committed that we'll never put names on the side of a building or, you know, your names. If you purchase seats, you'll never find, you know, your name on seats because, you know, that's just not something we want to do because that'd be about you. And we want this to be about God. This is about what God's doing. And so there were people that had impact around here. So we had them sign these rocks when they made those commitments and said, just, you know, put your name on here as a symbol of how you're saying, God, I want to be used to have to further, you know, your impact and the kingdom impact and people understanding Jesus in our community. So these rocks tell stories, and they tell stories of people's faithfulness. They also tell stories of God's faithfulness to us through this journey we've been on. Now, in an Old Testament part of the Bible, in a book known as Joshua, we see one of the first teams that God assembled, known as the Nation of Israel, and they were going about obtaining the Promised Land. That's the thing the Nation of Israel was doing at that time, and God says to them, I want you to go cross the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River was kind of like a boundary mark. It was kind of like this thing that they had never crossed before. It kind of symbolized, in a sense, this place that they'd always wanted to go to, but they'd never been there before, and so it was even to some degree, this literal river was even to some degree a psychological barrier for them. Kind of like, man, if we can cross this threshold, then we're going to be in the next season, the next chapter of, of life. And so one of the things that God says, he says, I want you to take your 12 leaders. He says this to the tribe of Israel through Joshua, the prophet Joshua. He says, I want you to take 12 leaders, and I want you to have them pick up a stone. And as they cross the river and walk across the river, when they get to the other side, have them put that stone down on the other side. And here's why he asked them to do this. Here's what it says in the book of Joshua chapter 4. It says, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So these stones, they saw these stones on the other side of the Jordan. They thought, oh, let's relive some of those stories that got us to this point. And so today, we're going to relive some of the stories that have happened around this place. And you're going to hear kind of the behind the scenes, things that kind of took place, and not necessarily chronologically, but the ways God has been faithful, and the stories of people being faithful and God being faithful. And these are the stories of what God has done in and through us. And I say us because this isn't like a we and a they. All right, there's no we and they and team. This is, if you're here at Crosspoint and you're saying, hey, this is where I connect, this is a part of your story, what you're going to hear this morning. So let's start by welcoming Mark and Barb Walters to the platform. Come on up, guys. And Mark and Barb, these guys are the oldest of the olds this morning, all right? I know you don't like that. I know you.
She's the oldest of the olds.
All right, well. That's a little, we'll let that family issue go aside. But Mark and Barb were the first two people that joined Team Crosspoint with Julie and I.
Yeah. We had been serving in the youth ministry with Kurt and Julie at our previous church, the church my dad pastored at. And it was just kind of interesting because we had started to see a glimpse of this vision that Kurt and Julie were starting to get just by, you know, Tuesday nights. We'd go to their house almost weekly and have dinner, and we'd end up talking about everything church-related outside of that. And then at one point, they started inviting their neighbors, and that conversation kind of turned as like, you know, we've just found a lot of neighbors are just, you know, they've had bad church experience, and, you know, church gets brought up or God, and just some really
struggle stuff. And they were interested in church, but
yeah.
when it came to church, it was like glaze over, and I've been there, done that.
Yeah. And you know, Barb and I kind of had that same sense some with our neighbors that we had started to get to know, same in the same situation. And it was just a struggle because for us, we were really involved with the youth, and that's what really kept us at that church. That's where our heart was driven towards. That's where we were seeing the growth and excitement. And I just had a hard time going to my neighbor saying, hey, you know, why don't you come check out our youth group?
Partly because it wasn't for them, right?
Right, I mean, exactly.
And in case you haven't figured this out, CrossPoint's like a student minister on steroids, all right? We just operate at that level. I mean, that's because we believe that connects.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, it was, we came to a point where Barb and I were actually really starting to think about looking for another church because we realized, you know, we can't just live through the youth as much as we loved working with them. And it was at that same time that Kurt and Julie shared with us their vision of Crosspoint, and it was just like, wow, you know, it was just perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And it's just been amazing to see the process over these last 7 years because, I mean, at this point, you know, as of last year, we had a family, a great friends of ours who ended up moving to another neighborhood, but there were at one point 5 houses in a row that all come here to Crosspoint, and the ones that have moved still come here. But it was just kind of cool because it was whole living out that whole thing of like connecting with our neighbors and with life and everything and how that drew us all here together. And that's just mm-hmm. been really cool, whether it's our neighbors or coworkers I've had that have eventually made their way here. Mm-hmm. It's just neat to see.
Yeah, so. Awesome.
Well, for me, it was a little different because the youth really were the only connect I had mm-hmm. at the former church. I am an unchurched person, mm-hmm. raised Catholic, very non-practicing Catholic, so I didn't understand all the stuff that you guys did.
Which is about 50% of CrossPoint. We
right?
have a lot of people have
yep.
a very,
much
you know, a lot of backgrounds. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really neat to see that vision that was cast when it was first, you know, thought of because I felt like it really was meant for people like me that didn't have it all together, that mm-hmm. didn't know all the verses and know mm-hmm. what to do when and what songs to sing, but it was more about your heart and what God was doing with it. So mm-hmm. Crosspoint really has meant a lot to me and bringing that private relationship I always had with God out to more personal, and which really started with that, taking that step to do baptism.
Barb was baptism. I think our very first baptism service at Crosspoint,
yeah,
right?
That was interesting.
Exciting.
I have a fear of water.
Which is
so
a big,
that,
well, and a big deal if you come from a Catholic background and, mm-hmm. And then making a decision to get baptized based on your now personal held beliefs. That's a big shift.
Yeah. And that's where it really is a place where I want to go and mm-hmm. want to have my kids experience, you know, which is a different experience than what I had growing up.
So we sat with them and shared this vision, and we're like, all right, there's four of us now. And wow, you know, and it was interesting because we started gathering people. I said to them, you know, who else do we know, you know, that goes to church, that maybe is interested in a different experience, looking for a place to bring their neighbors or friends? Who do you guys know that doesn't go to church, that isn't interested in God, or maybe interested in God but not church? And before long, I was having like two breakfasts a day. I just started networking. You know, two breakfasts a day, two lunches a day, coffee in the afternoon. I had started a workout plan because I was eating all the time, you know, and just casting vision, saying, you know, what would it look like, and would you be interested in a church that's wired start to finish for people who basically don't like church? Because, I mean, let's be honest, most of the time people that walk in here, which maybe you walked in here this morning, you're feeling this way, most of the time people that walk in here and don't like what happens here, they like church. All right, they just really do. We don't like church. We don't, you know, there's a lot of disconnects, you know, at least historically. You know, we like what's been created here, but, you know, but we just asked that question, what would a church look like wired start to finish for people who really aren't a fan of church? And there were very few people who actually were up for this kind of work. There were about 38 or 40 adults that, over the course of 6 or 8 months, that kind of joined this team to launch Crosspoint. So we actually grew from 4 to 38 or 40. And I remember we did stuff like buying equipment and networking and starting groups in the community and bought like nursery toys. I mean, you have to have nursery toys, right? I mean, this simple stuff like that. Putting mailers together, you know, late at night, mailing. We didn't realize there was a mailing service that could do that for you. So we're like bringing people into our home. And I just remember the night before our first service, you know, I just remember this wave of angst coming over me. I just had this sense of like, you know, man, tomorrow's going to happen and I'm excited, but man, I wonder if I'm going to be depressed tomorrow evening. Wonder if tomorrow's going to come and I'm going to be like, oh man, nobody showed up. And man, this has been a waste of my time. Why didn't I just stay in my last job that I was in? I mean, that would have been a lot more comfortable. And those are the thoughts that began to come through that night before through my mind. And I remember getting up the next morning and going to Crosspoint. At that point, it was across the street at Fall Creek Intermediate School. We got in, loaded equipment in, and I just remember going and sitting in the front row, you know, because that's what pastors do, right? I mean, you sit in the front row. That's just where we're supposed to sit. And so, you know, I decided, though, I'm not going to turn around. I was up there before the service, so I just sat there. I thought, I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to see how few people showed up, because I'll probably get discouraged before we even get going. And, you know, and I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden I had this, like, tap on my shoulder, and it was this guy. Let's welcome John Satinga and his wife Tammy to the platform this morning. Come on up and join us, guys. And John came up, and I don't even remember, John, what you said to me. It was something important, probably, about John's our operations guy now, but he was handling operations, but you, I remember you tugged on. You're like, hey, look, people are actually showing up.
Yeah, well, we weren't, like you said, we weren't sure. We knew there were going to be about 38 people there.
Yeah, and a few of our family members,
right,
your dad and my dad.
Team. Right. Our dads were going to show up, right. But beyond that, we weren't, obviously weren't sure what to expect. And before we got to that point, the unknown and the struggles that we went through, the year before that, before we even had that many people on our launch team, our smaller team, we were trying to figure out, well, where could we possibly meet? Mm-hmm. And I remember in spring of 2006, the year before we launched, I was sitting in the Fall Creek Intermediate, I want to say auditorium.
Cafetorium. It's a cafetorium with broccoli and spilled milk on the floor.
Right, exactly. That they changed the carpets out right
until they changed the carpets out right before we left. They did that for us.
And I was watching my daughter's fifth grade play.
Which was?
I have no clue.
See, for John, if it doesn't involve a ball, he doesn't connect.
Yeah,
so.
If you're not kicking the ball or throwing the ball or catching the ball, I start to lose.
There are things like billiards mentioned in the play.
But I remember sitting there and not paying attention to the program as much as I think counting the chairs that were in the cafetorium, trying to figure out, would this work? I remember calling Kurt right afterward and saying, I think this is it. I think we need to check the spot out. It's a perfect location. We need to check it out. And so that started the next process of, which he's told the story before, of getting with the assistant principal at that time, which then turned into she left, and then we weren't sure what was going on, and then Amy Jackson came in and saved the day, and we were able to, our first hurdle there was we made it over and actually had a place to meet, which then led us to the next hurdle, which was what's our next phase going to be. And as you mentioned, we had looked at, hoped to get warehouse space at Hamilton Town Center. Only a couple places even there exist for that purpose. But the one wouldn't even talk to a church. They wouldn't even talk to us. The other one talked to us, and we were way down the road with them, and then the guy pulled the trigger, went up to the higher-ups, and they said, you shouldn't have even been talking to them. We will not rent to a church. And we had done a campaign to raise funds to do a build-out there. And so there was a lot of unknown there, and we just, God, what do you want us to do? We don't understand this. And it just became apparent that I think God's plan was much bigger than our plan. And mm-hmm. and that kind of led us to looking for land, which was a whole nother struggle. I mean, I know you can drive around here and see land, but I'm telling you, none of it is really available. Or if it is, it costs, yeah. So we were very fortunate to get this piece of property and feel blessed to have it, and then through the campaign to get this building where it is, and really this is just the beginning. You know, yeah. We went through that first phase, and really this is Crosspoint 2.0 now, and it's a whole nother starting point. And for our family, it's been a great journey, and we're looking forward to the next one because it's been such a cool thing for us to see friends and people that we know in the neighborhood or through sports programs or whatever come here, and it's just been great for us.
Right, and you know, that was a big part of the decision that we had when we chose to leave our previous church, which mm-hmm. was with the Walters, was knowing that, you know, this would be an opportunity for our kids to have the kids that they go to school with be here and be able to connect with them better. But in full disclosure, I have to say, I was on board at the beginning, but I wasn't full in, mm-hmm. mainly because I think I was raised in the church. I was raised in the Methodist church, which is very traditional, very churchy, and I didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but when you started talking about this vision you had, I was excited, but I was like, gosh, I can't see
it. Couldn't wrap your mind around it.
Get it. And it took a while, but I remember distinctly the first, I think it was the first, like, actual grand opening service that we had at the school after a few weeks of preview services. And all of the music had come together, and the teaching, you know, had come together, and the volunteers were rocking it. And I just had my aha moment, and I could see it. And it was like, oh, this is what it's going to be like.
Well, and wasn't that paired? Didn't you have an event that afternoon, though?
No, it was like the day before.
The day before, right. Where you were in a church that was kind of dead, and people were, falling asleep.
It was a funeral.
A funeral, okay. Well, they were dead. I mean, it was literally.
And not that there's
not a place for that. There's tons of that around here.
Exactly.
If somebody's looking for that, it's all over. I mean, you can find that easily.
And it was an Episcopalian church downtown. It was very traditional. Robes, chanting, you know, the whole deal. And it was, you know, it was just such a striking contrast from that day and then to Sunday morning that it just punctuated it even more.
You just realize that when somebody's getting shot by a squirt gun from the platform, it keeps them engaged in the service, right? I mean, like happened a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So, yeah, which is a really big connect. I know you guys sell clients. I mean, people, you lived down here for 20 years, and people would say, well, man, to go to your church is like going halfway to Lafayette, even though technically it's not. But Noblesville during rush hour is almost halfway to Lafayette.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, you know, so it's just interesting because, you know, this journey has been one of people seeing and getting on board and saying, hey, you know, why are we doing this? Well, we have people that we care about that we want to jump on board. And it's been, and one of the cool things that happened with the facility side, when the warehouses, you know, kind of became not an option, you know, we also began to realize that, you know, if we have our own facility, it'll help us build into people better. That's really what we're about and what we feel like God calls us to be about. And so, I mean, I just feel like God gave us this space right here. I mean, I say that all the time. God gave us, you know,
Gave us?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know we disagree on this. I say gave. He says, well, we paid for it. Yeah. And I'm like, well, God gave it to us. And
yeah, you act like you dropped it in our laps.
Well,
like,
I mean.
The Immaculate Conception, right?
The opportunity, right? I mean, it's got a big price. It's like $3 million we had to pay and a lot of hard work. But nonetheless, let's bring my wife up here this morning. Julie, welcome my wife up to the platform. Now, before we go to Julie, you know, it has really amazed me how God's plans have always been bigger than our plans. I mean, every step of the way, we've had certain dreams or things we thought were going to play out that really God put on our hearts, but God broadened those to so much, you know, bigger, and it often involves struggle and the financing that we had to do, you know, in order to get in here, which, you know, all of this, there's always been consternation, struggle, and difficulty. I think those things always precede success or accomplishing the things we're put here to do. And so pain and difficulty have always been kind of a part of our story, whether you realize that or not. Hi, honey.
Speaking
of pain and difficulty, meet my wife. She's going to talk about that today. She likes to call it challenges. I call it pain and difficulty.
Exactly. Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. We knew you could tackle it.
Well, and you know, really, even from the get-go, we realized what? We had a small snippet of what this would look like in the sense of challenges. When we were even approached to think about this, our immediate response was no. Kurt's family had started a church, and we knew the struggles that came with that. We knew the challenges that came with that.
And we liked our family, and we didn't want to see it destroyed, which usually happens in church plants. So.
And I knew we'd have to move, and we had this cute, cute little house. It was only like 3 bedrooms, and it wouldn't even fit all of my family in it now. But I'm like, we can't move away from our
little house. Exactly.
Like, that was it.
That was Julie, you know. She picked her college based on the trees. I picked it because of other reasons, like academics. But, you know, that's the difference between us, right?
That might be true. So originally I was like, absolutely not. I mean, you know, I'm telling God, forget it. We can't do this. As great of a vision as this is, God, I'm not willing to give up all of these things. And I always feel like God's smiling at me because I think he knows that I say no first and then he works on me changes my heart. And, you know, when we looked at our neighbors and we looked at the impact that Crosspoint could have on us and others, all of us, we couldn't say no. Mm-hmm. And so when Kurt and I jump into something, we jump in with both feet.
We're like all in, you know. And it's kind of, you know, we were reminded of this week because our daughter wanted to go to this Radio Disney concert, Bridget Mendler, if anybody knows who she is, Monday evening at State Fair. And she
Free fair concert.
And she wanted to make t-shirts, you know. She's got to go all out on it. And we're like, where does she get that from? We're not sure. But, you know, she wanted to make t-shirts for her friends that were going. And it was like 10 o'clock. She'd been working out for like 3 days. 10 o'clock the night before, and she's like, I've got more work to do on them before tomorrow. We're like, it's bedtime. And then I looked at Julie, I'm like, well, this is just like us. And so we got to encourage, you know, because we're all in people. I mean, if something needs to get done, okay, how fast can we get after it? Yes. And that's to a fault sometimes.
9 o'clock the night before is still a very doable time to get something done.
To get something done, yes.
And that is really how Crosspoint started. I mean, we had our third child right around the time that Crosspoint began our previous services.
It's how we remember her birthday and how old she is, because Crosspoint's 7 and she's 7, so it kind of helps us.
Yeah, I'm not really great with numbers, so I'll be like, when was that again that Crosspoint started? Yes, that was when she was born. And so, but anyway, so even in those early months that she was born, like, we were staying up till 3 and 4 in the morning feeding her, but then also preparing things for Crosspoint. Those of you that were at the school with us may remember the blue banners on each side of the stage in the auditorium. Those came out of us looking in there the night before, I believe, one of our previews, or pretty close to the night before, and saying, gosh, it's really missing something up there. And so I got out my sewing machine and read how to thread it and all, and called in help from neighbors. And, but anyway, we were sewing those things up just for a preview event, just so that that it looked like it was full in the front. And, you know, 7 years later, they're still hanging up there. I'm not really sure how.
They're intended for one service, and 7 years
yeah,
later,
load
we're
back. Load out, guys. Want to burn them now.
We can burn them. Exactly.
I got a fire pit.
Fire pit.
But anyway, you know, like it's kind of like having a child or someone you care really deeply about. Like you're all in, and that's how I guess I feel like that we have been from the get-go. That there's going to be challenges. There's going to be challenges in relationships, and you know, Kurt and I have ebbs and flows in our mm-hmm. in our marriage because of the strain of all that has come with this.
Yeah, and you know, you can go through a season, and when you hear us talk about, we know our daughter's age because of Crosspoint starting. We're all in with our kids too. I mean, it's all in on all of life, and you know, and there's seasons where more goes to Crosspoint, more goes to kids, more goes to Julie and I. But you know, you can only manage expectations so long, and if you let that take over your life, you begin to get detached. And we've had those moments too. We've been in some dark places. And we've had to work through those because of the demands of just wanting to see our friends and people in our community have a place to go. And yet, we can sit here today and say, I love you. And
you too.
She only hesitates 2 seconds before she says that. So, no. No. All right. Well, listen, let's bring PJ and Angie up to the platform. Help me welcome them this morning. And many of you see PJ up here every week, but you get to see his better half this morning, Angie. And
she is my better half.
yeah, and for us, you know, our story mirrors basically all of these. Like, I mean, it's like a little microcosm of each one, except we weren't looking for somewhere else to go. I was on staff at Church at the Crossing, and we brought Kurt on in July of 06, so probably right about the time John was, right after John was sitting in FCI. But we, I was on staff there, and we brought him in to, you know, essentially fish in our pond for people to go with. And they actually made him parade up on stage with a fishing hat and a fishing vest and a fishing pole, and he hated every single
hated every single moment of it. Did it?
That still,
yeah.
That
way, yeah.
But so we weren't looking for any place to go. I was in a full time job there doing ministry, and we were happy, but there was something wrong. Like there was just something off, and it wasn't necessarily the place or the people, but we had started processing even before any of knowing about Kurt coming that there was just something kind of eating at both of us. And what we realized was that it was that we really wanted our neighbors to get connected with church and with God. And so there were two couples in particular that were on our street at the time. One of them is still there, but we got really close with them, and they weren't really connected at a church anywhere, you know, mass on holidays kind of thing, you know, non-practicing Catholic like Barb. And not that that's bad, Barb.
No,
you know.
All good.
Okay. we'd been really praying about, you know, how do we get them connected, and we want them to connect. And so, but they'd come with us to Crossing, and it wasn't their thing. And whether it was me or the preacher or the service or the place or the 25-minute drive, you know, in no rush hour, that kind of thing. There were just lots of little things that they didn't connect with that. And so, when the staff at Crossing came in April and said, hey, we're planting a church in Fishers, I was like, oh, that's my backyard. We'd been living there for a couple of years already. And then Kurt came on in July, and we reconnected because I actually interviewed for an internship with Kurt that I turned down because he didn't offer me enough money. that's actually true.
There's a better part to that story you're going to hear in just a second, though.
So I turned that down, took a different internship, blah, 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 hated it, moved on. Reconnected with Kurt that summer and just realized what they were going for with what would eventually be Crosspoint is what we were hoping for. And so fast forward then to like October or something, I think it was the first weekend in October, we did a cookout with our next door neighbors, Jeff and Aaron, and Kurt and Julie were there, and I think Mark and Barb were there, I don't know. You've been added to the story now, so maybe we should just add Jonathan to it. But so anyway, because I've told the story so many times. But so it wasn't like a, hey, come hear about this church because we want you to go to church or connect with God. It was, hey, you're our friends, let's hang out. Your kids are about the same age. I think we'll have fun together. And we talked about everything under the sun that night. The food was phenomenal, I'm sure. Jeff Moe. But we talked about everything. And so I think that was a Friday. And the next Sunday, I got home from church after doing my thing at Crossing and cut the grass and sat down on the deck. And Erin poked her head around the corner and said, "Hey, can I come over?" So she came in and said, "You know, I just wanted to tell you that the other night we had a great time with your friends, and we can't wait to hear more about this church that they're starting," which were words that changed our life. Because the way I tell the story is that then she left, and I looked at Angie and said, "Okay, I think we really need to have a conversation about if we're going to go to Crosspoint or not." And she goes, "We're going."
That's not exactly.
But that's how I tell it, so it works for me.
PJ likes to tell stories. But in our decision to leave Crossing and become a part of the launch team, it was a huge leap of faith for us, simply because it was PJ's job. I mean, for us to join the launch team meant he had to find another job. And we had
and
to
I didn't pay very well, apparently.
No, not at all.
Well, when we started, it wasn't even for a job spot.
It wasn't even for a job spot, yeah.
Like playing guitar or bass or something up here. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, there was no title. You guys were coming to just join the team.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was essentially for no money.
No money.
But so we had to go through trying to figure out what exactly PJ was going to do. And he stayed on staff at Crossing to kind of finish up his role there for a couple months. And actually, one of the Sundays towards the end of our time at Crossing and right before Crosspoint started doing preview services, Crossing had a service for all of the launch team members, the 38 of us, to come up, and everyone in the congregation was praying for us. And before that Sunday even started, I looked at PJ and I said, "You know, I have this feeling, and I don't know if it's my hopefulness and wishing or if it's really the Holy Spirit, what it is, but I feel like for some reason you're going to get a job offer today. Who knows if it's true? Who knows?" Well, he did indeed get a job offer that day.
That day.
Which wasn't the job he ended up taking, but it was just one more way that God said, "I gotcha, you're covered, don't stress, it will come through, this is a possibility, but you just have to trust what I'm doing and that you're on the right track." So he did end up taking a full-time job at FedEx Kinko's in graphic design, and I informed him last night that he's much better now than he was then.
Kudos.
With all the artwork. But, so we joined the launch team just as volunteers, and after our first on-site preview service, the worship position became available, and Kurt offered it to PJ
for no pay. Yeah.
Correct.
For no pay. So I didn't pay enough, and then he joined me for free. I mean,
got rougher and rougher. But so the first 18 months that PJ was on staff, we actually raised support like a missionary would. And that was just another way that God proved his faithfulness, because he did every month. The funding came in from friends and family and people who were supporting us and supporting Crosspoint. So God has definitely been faithful these 7 years in how he got us here and what he's done.
And these are just a few of the stories that are the background. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, you know, I remember you guys fasting for like 35, 40 days until that got worked out.
It was really hard to sit at Olive Garden with a handful of the launch team in Michigan while we were coming up with the values after just visiting a church up there while everybody's eating and I'm like drinking my water.
Yeah, and so, you know, and this stuff, what you experience here, this is the behind-the-scenes stuff, but, you know, what you experience when you walk in, you know, the great music, everything that you see doesn't just happen. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of struggle that's led to that, and that's not a sob story. I mean, that's just the way God works. He punctuates our lives by bringing us to places where he continues to show us, "Hey, I've got you. I'm in control. Here's what I want you to be about next." And that's one of the things I want us to really take away this morning is, you know, listen, Crosspoint isn't done yet. I mean, we have not arrived, and we've got a building, but that is not arriving. We actually feel like we're just beginning. I mean, Julie and I were just talking the other night. Those late nights are back again. We're almost back right at the beginning of when we first launched, because we're entering the next season, and there's a bigger city to reach. There's bigger growth that needs to take place. And when I say bigger, I'm not just talking numeric. I'm also talking personally, spiritual growth, the way God's going to continue to grow every single individual that leans in to what he wants this place to be about. I believe God takes us to a new place. And one of the other cool things that I've just observed as I've listened to these stories is, have you noticed that all of this team was about joining this because of people? I mean, it wasn't because we needed a building or I needed a new job, or there were no jobs. I mean, it was just, we have a heart for our neighbors people who don't like church, and we want to be a part of a place that's wired start to finish for people that are looking for God and don't like church and don't have it all together. And so that's kind of just embodied what Crosspoint has become. So as we start this next season, I mean, this is end of season number one today. And as we start the next season next week with grand opening and kind of are thrust into the next season of Crosspoint, listen, we're going to continue to wire start to finish for people who don't like church. That's just a part of what we do. But I want to kind of help us to capture that personally today. So when you came in your weekly, you received a weekly, take that out. Inside, there's a card that says heavyweights on it. It says invite and invest. You see it on the screen behind me. And I want you to hold this in your hand and grab a pen, because the next step, every week we give a next step, but today's next step is, you know, this place is wired start to finish for people who don't like church. Maybe that's why you're here. Maybe you're here today for the first time and you like church. You're like, man, I don't dig this. That's totally cool. We realize there's a lot of places you could connect. We just feel like we want to be a place that's wired for people that don't like church. And so I want you to think about the backside of this list and just ask yourself, you know, who are those people in my circle of influence who maybe fit the picture of what Crosspoint was created for? Maybe you try to invite them to church and their eyes roll back. Or, you know, they're interested in God, but they've just not found a place to connect. Or maybe they're just struggling in life and you think, man, I don't know if they know Jesus or not, but I think Jesus could really make a difference in this person's life. And as you hold this card, I just want to ask you to ask God to maybe put a name on your mind or a face on your heart. And as he does that, just write that name down. And this isn't a strategy right here. This is really just a card to say, hey, you know, as Crosspoint starts season number two, who are the people that I personally need to be inviting? And that simple invite could possibly change the trajectory of their life and their family forever, because they come into an environment where the team, all of us, are creating a place where people can see God maybe differently, experience God at a different level in a new way for the very first time. And so just take a moment and ask God to just put a face on your mind, a name on your heart. And one of the cool things, you know, as I think about this for me and some of the people I'm going to be inviting this week, it's not uncommon for me to have somebody come up to me out in the lobby after service and be like, well, you know, Kurt, you talked about how this is for others, but man, this really got me today. I mean, I'm that person. I'm that person that felt disconnected. I'm the person that kind of, as you've heard from this panel, that felt like I didn't get church, and all of a sudden I get it, and I'm ready to take that step. I realize God runs after me because he wants to adopt me into his family, not to condemn me, not to make me feel bad, but he wants me to know his grace and that relationship. And listen, if that's where you are today, there's no need to wait. I mean, that can happen for you today by simply just saying, God, I want that. I want to enter relationship with you. I want to receive from you. And that relationship begins, and things begin to change. And so if that's where you are, you can even do that as we pray in these next moments. So let's stand, and I just want to ask us to, I want to ask God's blessing. I want to pray for us as we enter season number two. God, as we're standing to our feet right now, it's amazing to me that you're a God who runs. I mean, it'd be easier for you to stay distant in the heavens, you know, throwing down things to the people on earth. But no, you actually showed up in the form of flesh and love through your son Jesus and showed us that you're a God who pursues us, who builds into us, and never gives up on us. God, I want to give a moment. If there's anybody here today that needs to take that step, is ready to say, God, yes, I feel you drawing me towards you, and I'm ready to enter relationship with you by receiving your grace, by inviting you to begin to lead me in my decisions and my life, then that's all you need to do. Just say those words to him right now. There's no magic to the words as much as just expressing your heart and saying, Jesus, I want to know you. I need to receive your grace. I want you to lead me. And in that moment, that relationship begins for the very first time. God, I mean, I sit up here and I'm in awe. I'm humbled by the way that you have planted this seed, this spirit in this tribe to run after people who you love. And God, we want to be about you. We want the things that we're doing to reflect your character more and more. And so I just thank you for the opportunity personally, but I know I speak for every person on this platform and the hundreds of us that have said, hey, we're a part of this team, for giving us the strength and the courage and the foresight and the vision to run after the people that you run after, God. God, just help us to continue to be a people who run after the things that are important to you.